This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 308 in the series. This session shares a key segment of the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, June 24, 2020. The meeting, as usual, was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Tom Mercer opened the meeting on schedule. Each person who speaks is announced. After running through several action items, the agenda gets to this item for the water rate increase and discusses the to-be-announced water ban. As we record this, the ban, only the third in the past several years, is in effect due to drought conditions. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to the individual documents referenced. This meeting segment runs around 48 minutes, so let's listen to the proposed water rate increase and to the overall water supply discussion from the Town Council meeting of June 24.
Bylaw Amendment 20-855, Chapter 82, Water Fee Increase. First reading, clerk will read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Bylaw Amendment 20-855, Chapter 82, Municipal Service Fees. Bylaw to amend the Code of the Town of Franklin at Chapter 82. Be it enacted by the Franklin Town Council that Chapter 82 of the Code of the Town of Franklin, entitled Fees, is hereby amended at Appendix B as follows. Appendix B, list of service rates effective for bills issued after September 30th, 2020, water usage rates shall be as follows. For CCF of 0 through 15, the water usage rate is going to change from June 30th, 18 to water usage of September 30th, 20 to $6.33, with 6/30/21 going up to $6.96. For a CCF of 16 through 40, the water usage for 18 was $6.05. For 9/30/20, it's going to be $6.66. For 6/30/21, it's going to be $7.33. For a CCF of 41 or more, the water usage fee was $7.10 and $18. It's going to be $7.81 on 9/30/20 and go up to $8.59 on 6/30/21. This bylaw shall become effective according to the provisions outlined in the Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move resolution 20-855 to a second reading.
Second. Bylaw amendment.
The bylaw.
Yes.
Bylaw amendment.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second discussion. Jamie?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I outlined in my memo, this goes back to the discussion we had in March when we were entering into the COVID situation. I began the memo with first the good news that over the last few months since we've been in this crisis, the Charles River Pollution Control District, the excellent job those folks do over there, was able to lower Franklin's assessment to that district by just under $300,000 to the rate pay. And so the good news is by holding off on these votes, we were able to not have to bring forward the 3% increase to the sewer bills that we had anticipated back in March. So so that's the good news. Additionally, though, we are the staff are continuing to recommend the water rate increase of 10% effective. Actually, this memo is incorrect. The resolution is correct. We are proposing that rate take account in September 1st of 2020 with an additional 10% water rate hike in July 1st of 2021. As noted before, during these discussions, but also tonight, the main driver for this is certainly the water treatment plant. And we're going to get into a little bit of more of a water discussion this evening, but the water treatment plant, which many people are hopefully familiar with, is a project off of Grove Street to build a new treatment plant. In addition, is going to reconstruct wells 3 and 6, which are now currently not online due to the high iron and manganese levels that are there. And DEP is asking, or basically mandating the town reconstruct those wells. So the project has been in construction, for the last 10 months or so. It's on schedule and on budget, and I have in the packet this evening the schedule of that water treatment plant, which should be done in about a year. This water treatment plant is a $13 million project. As all of you recognize, we have all signed on to state SRF loans. We've got all the financials in order. We have a contractor on site, And as we do with any vendor, we always manage those projects to do the best we can to reduce costs and ensure that we never have to tap into our contingency. Additionally, in the future, that project is obviously signed, sealed, and delivered, and it should be done in a year. Additionally, what the big policy question will be down the road for the council, not certainly tonight, but down the road, pun intended there, but is really the roads program and the water infrastructure program that the town and many of you have become so accustomed to. As everybody knows, we're in a five-year water main replacement program. The council authorized the first installment of that a year and a half ago. Those bills will be coming due. We were able to get done with the Lincoln Street project, as many of you have already heard, this year. And so we are recommending that that the council approve in one vote these two increases in the water rates over the course of the next 2 years. I have actually asked the DPW director, Bruce Cannon-Reggi, to join this meeting as well this evening. I know the finance director is here as well, and we are happy to entertain any questions the council or public may have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Quick question, only because it's fresh in my mind from one of the other things I do in the community. We haven't had any rain in the last 2 months. And I'm concerned about what our water, do we have anything coming from the state or from local?
Through you, Mr. Chairman of the council, and then obviously I've based on the news of the last 2 days, in fact, the news today, which people will be likely seeing in the newspapers over the next coming days, and another reason why I've asked Brutus to attend tonight, is we are looking at a water ban. Eastern Massachusetts is looking at a water ban as well. I will note that today, and I think Brutus might touch on this, we put this all together basically this afternoon, so anticipating some of these questions, because we've gotten a lot of emails, like many of you have, relative to development in town and what's the status of water. The state has a drought management task force, which is made up of state folks and federal and other stakeholders. The drought management task force has been in place for over 20 years. Actually, it was one of the things that I worked on as an intern when I was 22 years old, when I worked for the state in water policy. But they did meet today, and I think Brutus is going to give an update. I expect that this is going to continue to get more press as the weeks go on, and I'd like to give him an opportunity to go through some of the numbers that we're seeing. I just want to, and Brutus will mention this again, but it really is worth emphasizing, we never take these decisions lightly. Nobody likes bans on anything. But as you're going to see in the numbers, Massachusetts right now, over the last 3 weeks, is facing a very significant problem relative to water resources. And we should be at least thinking positively that our state leaders and our folks down in our DPW have their eye on this. The forecast does not look good for the rest of the summer in terms of rain. But I will I will pass the baton over to Brutus now and let him walk through a few of the slides he presented with some of the water numbers that we're seeing here in Franklin. So, Brutus, you there?
Yes, I'm unmuted.
Oh.
Through you, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Just
give you a quick update. Next slide, Alicia. So as Tom Andrews said, the drought task force met this afternoon after reviewing current conditions and forecasts. For less than normal participation, higher than normal temperatures, task force is recommending to the Secretary of the EA that a level 2 significant drought be declared for the state. And pretty much as Tom Andrews touched on, that's no outside watering of lawns when it comes down to it, and other things. But, you know, different people have different permits. Next slide. So kind of just as the town manager said, Jamie, we kind of threw this together. So I looked at some different numbers just to try to explain things. So year to date, since January, rainfall in Massachusetts down 5 inches. Typically at 43 inches of rain normally, so about 24% down at this point. I think we all know, I was happy about the winter wasn't too bad. Mild winter, no snowpack. What that means is not much groundwater recharge. No snowpack slowly leaches back into the ground. And I was hoping not to say the stormwater question, but statement, but you know, it does wash off. So in June, we've only had really one. I made this today. Obviously, it rained a little this afternoon. I think you got that. But only one. We've only got 1.6 inches of rain. Normally, we get 3.74. So we're off by 58% at this point. You know, the month's almost over. One event was that flash tropical storm that we had 2 weeks ago, which is, I think you all remember, like 1 inch of rain fell quickly in less than 30 minutes, ran off, you know, which it just, it doesn't absorb into to the ground. So it runs off and runs downstream. We had to come in and, you know, give the DPW boys a plug. Everybody came in and cleaned the catch basin so everything drained out. And then this slide's a little, the drought management task force did meet today and I gave you an update on that. Next slide. So well pumping in 2020. We've been pumping, this is in millions of gallons, the following per month. 68 million gallons. February is 55 million. March is 60 million. April, 60 million. May, we jumped up to 75 million. And June, so far, this is an estimate of what we've done so far. It'd probably be higher if we kept going the way we're going, about 86 million gallons, which is a lot of water. Next slide. So average daily pumping, I tried to condense this. The picture on the left, it shows what's been going on in Franklin since 2000. You heard me talk about this, and this is, you know, the council investing in our water system, having our conservation plan in place through DEP, which is, you know, the 1 day a week watering. So basically it shows, you know, our average daily use, and this only goes up to 2018, but last year we were at 2.4 million gallons, that's average daily. So if you look on the right, average daily use in 2000, you see, you know, January 2.2, February 2 basically, March 2, April 2, May 2.4, and June, you know, 2.9, which is very high. We're only permitted to do 3.41. on average, so we're pushing that limit. Next slide. So these are the concerns, what's going on in our system right now. All our wells that can operate right now are running at permitted limits. That means even if we could take more water out of the ground, we can't, because we're not allowed to by DEP. So and we're not keeping up with demand. Our tank levels are low, particularly at Fort Chill tank. Normally want to be about, and this is just a static number, 55 feet or 35 feet, and we're at 13.6 feet this morning. So that's a big difference. And just to put in perspective, just on that one tank, each foot that we're down represents 110,000 gallons. So just on one tank alone, we're down 2.5 million gallons of water. And what happens is when that static level goes down, businesses or homes that are on higher elevation areas, they'll start seeing some issues. Particularly, they got lawn water pressure issues inside their house, but it's also fire control issues. I think you can understand. At FIP, you know, there's a lot of industrial up there, and God forbid there was ever a fire, you know, we would be able to give them the water and the pressure that they need. Next slide. So this is our well information right now, just so you all know. So well 6 is offline now because, you know, we're building the plant out there because of iron and manganese issues. If this was on right now and the plant was completed, I might not be having this talk with you, because that plant well alone can do 720,000 gallons per day by itself. So that's, we just can't use it. because it's iron and manganese, it's offline. Well, number three, that's the other one that is being part of a new treatment plant. We can only pump that at 350 gallons per minute, even though it's permitted 500 gallons a minute because of iron and manganese issues. Just so folks, and you know, the whole iron and manganese thing, that's what people think of as dirty water. It gets it can be rusty colored or black. So if we put too much into that system or put too much into our system, the water can get discolored. It's not a safety issue, but it just doesn't look good in turbidity and cause a lot of problems. Well number eight is only pumping at 100 gallons a minute, not 350 gallons per minute, because the casings need to be cleaned. These wells, the more we use them, they pull fines in there and everything has to be cleaned out and maintained, and that is scheduled. But so we're down there. And then well number nine, we only can pump 200 gallons a minute, not 500 gallons a minute, because of the low aquifer. We just, at the screen level, we're 2 feet below the screen. If we kept just pumping it down too quickly, it would start pulling air. So, and well nine is one of the town's oldest or newest wells, and that's why it is that way. So number nine, just in the whole management thing, typically we run that more in the winter time. We like to, but because of the situation we're in now, we have to, use it. Next slide. So basically that just kind of shows you the drought map and where we're at. And if you guys got any questions, it's kind of straightforward, but yet complex, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Brutus. And thanks for putting these slides together for us. It's certainly very helpful. Mr. Kelly, very quick with that hand.
Getting good. We're going to have to get back to the chamber soon.
Yeah.
Brutus, great presentation. Very nerve-wracking of where we're heading. If we have a hot summer, we all want a hot summer. We all want to get outside, right? But nerve-wracking on the water system. My question, and I know you had mentioned it quickly, but I just want to reiterate. What is our state permit allowing us to pump out of the ground every day?
On average, every well has its own permitted amount. But on average, it's 3.14.
3.14.
3.14 million gallons.
3.14. Okay.
On average.
Okay. So is that, we have one, no matter, it could rain all throughout March, all throughout February. We could have 100 inches of snow, and it seems like every June, July, we have a water ban. Is the water ban a stipulation in our state permit that we get every year?
Yes, it is. It's what we call it, the conservation plan. I mean, what I'm talking about, we have to do now is a water ban, but what the town agreed to years ago was the conservation plan, and that is the one day a week watering that is required the end of June to the first part of September. We're kind of special with that. And then additionally, but even within that, we still can only do 3.14 per day on average. Now, some days, mind you, we go above that. You know, some summers, if like you said, it was very wet and everything else, and even though we're doing that, we could be pushing 3.5 million gallons a day, but on average, it can only be 3.14.
So when people, and I'm not advocating for building here, I'm not sure, that's not the point of my message. My point is that when people say, we have a water ban every year because we have a lot of building, it's really because it's in our conservation plan.
It's a state DEP permit. Yes, you're correct.
Okay. So I just think we don't emphasize and talk about that enough. I don't think I'm 100% for making stronger permitting laws and everything else for our town so that we can slow the growth. A lot of people want to come to Franklin, and I think that's a great plan, but we need to strengthen our community and our growth so that it's smart growth. But I think people jump on that water bandwagon, right? And they go, that's the reason we have a water ban. So if we got rid of half the houses, we'd still have a water ban.
Correct.
Okay. So a couple of questions. On well number eight, do you know when that cleaning is going to happen? Is it happening this summer, or are we going to wait till the fall or winter?
Oh, we're trying to get that. We're scheduling. I mean, we schedule the stuff out as best we can. Okay. And waiting to hear back from the contractor on that. But that was... trying to, yeah. I don't have the exact date, no.
Okay, no, that's okay. Any update on the Popolatic well that we continuously try to get going, which could potentially provide a lot more water for us?
Popolatic Street?
Yeah, there was a well that we looked at years ago to do over there. I think you applied for a permit at one point, and they just have never answered or even said no, in fact.
Well, they did, and then they said we have to go through the whole permitting process again, because it actually started back in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And there is a wellhead out there with potential to do it. But when we do what's called the 48-hour test, the drawdown, there was impact on the Charles River.
Okay.
So that affects that. And additionally, I want folks, one thing that Franklin has, or we don't have, I should say, is we have no stream gauge controls. So a lot of communities in our area, actually every community in our area, they have a stream gauge controls. So if the Charles River gets very low, they have to turn off certain wells, or they really have to go into, you know, a water ban. We have fought tremendously not to have that. If that Popolatic Street well ever came on, we probably, if we really needed it, then we would definitely have a river gauge type thing on it, and that could affect all our wells. And the problem with that is most people are trying to put additional wells in, and when do you need it? In the summer.
Exactly.
And so you get this brand new well, but then you can't use it in the summertime when you need it.
Okay.
So that's why we approached, you know, the whole thought process. You know, Mr. Kelly, we've been working together for years on this stuff.
Oh,
I agree. We talked about buying water from other communities and doing stuff. And actually, Deacon Parada was the one that, you know, brought it up about our wells 3 and 6, because they're permitted for a lot of water. We just can't get the water because the iron and manganese. So going this route, you know, we're gonna have a substantial amount more water available. They're called registered wells, so they can't, DEP can't restrict the use on any of those. So it's our water. It's our water forever. And it's just a good plan, and we own it. So that's 3 and 6 going to be great.
Awesome. I'm excited to have one. A couple more questions and just thoughts that I've been talking about. With the water ban, and especially in the summer when the pull down, we don't really worry about the pull down on our wells in December or January, but in the winter we do. We have a thought of going to a multi-metered system where if somebody wanted outside irrigation, they would have to get it on a separate meter, and maybe that's a little higher than what the house is. It's a little less taxing on the average citizen who doesn't have a well. And somebody who has a luxury of, I mean, not a well, I apologize, a sprinkler system, while somebody who does have a sprinkler system, the affordability is there if they're going to use it to spend a little more to water their grass. I hope that makes sense.
I think I know what you mean. We do not, some communities actually go the other way. They call it deduct meter. So if the water's going outside, they don't get charged for sewer. It's a conservation measure. I'd hate to have that, because, you know, obviously, and it's a fact, if you're watering your lawn, you're paying your water and sewer fees. So as part of that, you know, we could argue that blue in your face if that's the right thing to do, but that's just the way we are set up at this time. And
no, I get that. My thought was, and I didn't think of the sewer side of it, but, you know, if you charge the homeowner for the water and sewer that they're using, i.e., you know, how we do our calculations on storage. If we did that for what goes through your house, but then up the rate that goes on the outside, it's a little more of a luxury, right? We wouldn't get that sewer fee, but we'd be able to up the water fee. That might actually, it would really separate it. I feel like as we up the water rates, and I feel like when I was doing the numbers, I got a substantial number, almost 20% of an upgrade, of an uptick on water rates over the last 12 years. I'm just nervous at the affordability of our community and what they can do. I mean, they're being taxed enough on everything else, and water is an essential need. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. The other thing is, you know, multiple unit dwellings. Are we able to separate those out? Can we start doing a consideration there? That we got to look at some kind of conservation measure. And I get exactly where you're coming from. I don't know the answer. I'm just throwing ideas, spaghetti against the wall, to see what sticks.
Sure. You know, I will say, you know, we're part of an annual or biannual survey. You know, Franklin's water and sewer rates are pretty much middle of the road. You know, we're not very expensive. We're not the cheapest by far. But with that said, you know, we have a great water system. We have very good quality water. The additional cost of, you know, having an outside irrigation system, it does cost money to do that, and people are paying for that now. I mean, that's just my thought on that.
Yeah.
I can tell you, you know, through the whole water conservation plan and everything else, it really comes down to outside lawn watering. You know, I got to say, I've said this a million times to my peers, you know, because we always make the jokes that the residents don't listen to everything else. When we had the fire last year and we put out there, you know, we were in dire straits. I mean, we, you know, it's our biggest producers of water was out, and, you know, we put out no watering, and it wasn't like every other year. People really listened. They really stopped watering. We went down almost 900,000 gallons a day, which shows you how much is actually just going to the lawns, because that's pretty much what we did. And, you know, the folks listened, and, you know, we were able to get through that crisis. And it worked out really well. So lawn watering is a luxury, and it does use a lot of our resource.
And I can see the need for the sewer on there to be charged. Ultimately, we're talking about EPA water runoff, sulfurous going into the ground, right? Like, we've got all that problem, and watering your lawn is going to push those into the ground.
Yep.
So I don't know. We've got to brainstorm, I think, to try to figure out, and I know you're doing a great job, and I appreciate that. I don't know if there's another way to go on it. So, but I've allotted my time, and I appreciate your comments, and it was a great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Brutus, just for clarification, for the people at home or watching, on the water rates, it says CCL, which I know is roughly the $6.15, or whatever the number is times 750 gallons, roughly?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, it's funny because I do it all the time, even with my wife at home when she buys bottled water. I mean, a gallon of our water is less than a tenth of a penny,
right,
when it comes out. That's if you look at it that way, it's cheap. You know,
hence why I was trying to make the point as to what the dollars were against, which is roughly 750 gallons.
Yeah, and a lot of people like numbers. I mean, the average house, you know, per bedroom, they say per day, uses around 220 gallons of water. I mean, that's a little high, but that's what the state likes to use. And that's when you figure about showering, toilets, bathing, you know, outside water, use water your car, but that's what they go by, so.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a comment and a question, and I think, thank you, Brutus, for this presentation. I think it shows how badly we need the water treatment plant. If we had those other wells up and running, we wouldn't be as scared for the fire department and for those of us who need water. So, but thank you. I do have one question. I don't know if Jamie can answer this, or maybe Brutus can as well. Just a clarification. Jamie mentioned something about the roads and the water main program that we normally do, and that. But was the increase in fiscal in June of 2021, is that to add to make sure that we can continue that program? That was my question.
Jamie?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, the objective is to continue that program with those increases.
Okay.
I would note, as pointed out, the memo, obviously, the situation at Gorilla is one that has publicly come out of bankruptcy court, but the final deal isn't there. The future of the plant, as far as I know, the plant is continuing to operate as it always has, but obviously a little bit, that is an X factor out there. I think the other thing that's going to be out there that's going to challenge This program will also be just the general economy. You know, when we get out of the public health crisis, then we're going to have to deal with the economic crisis. And I think the part that's mostly there is the long-term sustainability of the water main program. And to Councillor Kelly's point, you know, I think like every department, as I outlined in the budget message this year, and this includes the water department too, you know, we're going to have to start looking under every stone, looking in every cabinet, and just trying to figure out which issues we can try to sacrifice. If you notice this year, maybe didn't, we actually postponed the water and sewer capital programs just to try to maintain additional cash. The stuff that we proposed was no critical or emergency needs, but you know, we tried to make those decisions to try to be able to keep the town fiscally sound. What I'm saying is the road portion of things and unknown with Chapter 90 money and other factors like that, I think in FY22, a year from now, maybe a little earlier, we're going to be having some more deeper policy debates about how we're going to address those issues. So, but the intention is to keep these rates to be able to pay for that stuff, at least for another year now.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Hamblin. Councillor DeLorco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through you. Thank you, Brutus, for that presentation. That was excellent. Just to clarify, just to make sure that the public knows, if you do see people watering, the people that have private wells still can water their lawn. Is that correct, Brutus?
Through you, Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Brutus.
Yes, they can. The town or DEP does not regulate private wells. I can say we all come from the same aquifer, and probably appreciate if they didn't, but yeah, if they have their own well, they can.
Okay, just so they know, I have my own well, but I don't water, Bruce. Don't worry about it. You can go by. It's brown as heck, you know. So just so you know, but okay, that's all. I just want to make sure that the public knows that. Thanks,
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Brutus.
It is out there that if folks do have a private well, that they put a sign up. So that we know.
Absolutely.
And so all the residents know too, also.
Without question. But I also have a private well, but I don't water my lawn either, because if you water it, it grows. If it grows, Councillor DeLorco, anything else?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Councillor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure who this goes to. It piggybacks a little bit on your question. I was just wondering how much per quarter this 10% will raise the bill for the average house. Does anybody have that?
Jamie, you want to?
I'm digging it in my memo just to remind. I don't believe the average bill. I would maybe say, you're probably guessing, Brutus, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe $25 a year? Not even that much.
No, it's not. The average bill is around, and it's just for the water side, is around $400.
Yeah.
So break that down, it's $100 a quarter, going up 10%.
So $10 a quarter. So yeah, it's about $25 to $40, depending on how much you use, what your bill is. But that's the average.
Okay, there would be $40. I know a lot of people are starting to add up how much each bill is going up.
Yep.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Chandler. Councillor Bizanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Bruce Federici. Bruce, great presentation. I'm finally starting to wrap my head around these wellheads. So with so many wellheads down or impaired, which is the best or highest producing well now? Or is it still just a conflagration of a little here and a little there for the town of Franklin? Is there one well doing a lot of the work, or three wells doing some of the work? Or?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, so our biggest well producers, I mean, what we call is wells one and two, but the DEP also, that we also got wells 13 or 14, whatever, it's just a nomenclature, which is the main treatment plant that we have down here at the DPW facility. So they're the largest producers. And then obviously, and then the well number four, that's over off of Miller Street near Norfolk. You might have heard of that one. That's one of our biggest producers. So, and then the other ones are, you know, they're give or take depending on the size of them.
Chair, may I just continue with one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
So, Brutus, in a perfect world, if we get those other three wells online, do you ever foresee a day where we might not need to do a water ban?
Well, just to clarify, as I talked about to Councilor Kelly before, we're always going to have a water conservation plan. That's in our permits right now. And that permit goes for another 12 years. So that's not changing. So we're going to have one day a week watering a minimum, basically, say July and August. With that said, with our wells on board, with all of them, if everything's working and up and going, the thing that our wells are running 24 hours a day right now. We're not resting anything. So in the future, besides the fact that we probably won't have to, you know, go to a complete water ban, which we have to do now, but additionally, we'd be able to rest our wells, rest our aquifers, and obviously have a reserve. I can't stress enough, you know, is that, you know, this time of year, whether it's, you know, obviously droughty conditions or not, the water use goes up significantly, and it's all because of outdoor water. You know, if we didn't have outdoor watering, you know, we're in downtown Boston, well, I know we're not, then, you know, they don't have the fluctuations like we do.
I release the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor DeLocco, a follow-up?
Yeah, thank you. To you, Mr. Chairman, I just got a text from a concerned citizen. He just asked me, why are we watering the baseball fields when we can't use them? Answer that?
I can. Actually, we've turned off the irrigation at the ball fields, all the ball fields. But we do plan on doing it once a week just to maintain them, but they will start browning out like everybody else. I look at it as a cost associated with them. You know, the fields are in great shape. They're public use. Everybody uses them. If they completely fail, it's tens of thousands of dollars to bring them back online. So, but we do a lot of maintenance practices with them. I think everybody can know that, you know, the aerification programs that we do. We do a lot of fertilization programs. They're in great shape. They're very healthy turf. So they will go into dormancy, just like everybody else's lawn that's in good shape. I think everybody knows, you know, everybody calls the Franklin lawn around this area. They tip, a lot of them burn out. And what happens? They come back in the spring or they come back in the fall and it starts raining. Cool season grasses, as grow around here, are meant to go dormant. They're meant to turn brown. That's how they store their energy. When it gets the water back in the fall, they start growing again. So, but yeah, we're very mindful of that. All the town buildings are all turned off. So, you know, all the libraries and all that, everything's turned off just like everybody else. So we did that the other day.
Thank you, Brutus. That was great.
Okay. Jamie, did you want to add something?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to also mention something a little different than we've done in the past. You know, I Brutus had called me on Monday afternoon to alert me to some of the numbers that we all saw this afternoon, and obviously working with you, Mr. Chairman, you know, we thought that this, given the meeting the state was having today, it was a very timely conversation, and as Councilor Kelly, I think, pointed out, you know, that we really wanted to have a discussion like this, you know, at the council. So all of you are aware, it's really the first forum where we're putting this out there. So this is new news as of tonight. One of the things I've also asked Brutus to do that's different in the past is to do, we're going to set up next week, I believe, one, and then maybe another one in July, and try to have two or three of them throughout the summer of kind of coffees. Through Zoom or maybe in person down the road, where Brutus can invite people in to a call to try to answer questions, complain, maybe give a kudos to, you know, high five, and really have a discussion with us about the parameters. I think there's a perception out there that Councilor Kelly brought up of development, you know, overdevelopment equals more water, and what was the situation at the water treatment plant last summer? And really, what's the state drought situation? I actually didn't know until Brutus made the presentation that they were recommending level two You know, that's a fairly dramatic step this quickly for the state to do. And so I've asked him to do a few outreach presentations and sessions throughout the community so that citizens have an opportunity to call up and ask questions and engage in this so that we get the right information out there and we don't let people just have the opportunity to make up their own story. So I just wanted to mention that really quickly. We don't have dates and times, but we'll certainly make that available in the next couple of days.
Thank you, Jamie. I don't see any other hands up from counselors. Is there anyone in the audience that would, that has
a question? Counselor Flegri has a question, sir.
She didn't.
See
she
my
didn't,
hand didn't, waving?
Oh, well, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, go ahead, Counselor Flegri.
Through you, I have a question for Brutus. Have you seen the numbers, gallons, what they have gone up since the pandemic now that has gone on with more people home? Do you show how much more water we're using?
Through you, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we did show, you know, we did show on the slide, and it's it was a dramatic increase. I mean, obviously, we start using more water in May just because it's warm outside. But it's funny talking, you know, with my staff, particularly Dave Allard and, you know, Deacon and Laurie, when she's still here, that, you know, people are at home more. And, you know, if you think about it, they're not driving to Boston and going to the bathroom. They're all going to the bathroom at home now because they're not going anywhere. So our use kind of went up quite a bit. Councilor DeLorge liked that, right? It's true, though, you know. So people are at home more, and then we had a lot more projects. I got to tell you one thing that's kind of neat, and I want people to know this. There are more, and I use the old school term, victory gardens out there. More people are growing stuff in their backyard than I've ever seen. And it's watering. And even with our, you know, our water ban, you can still hand water. I want folks to know that their gardens and stuff. That's not the huge user. But we've seen a lot of that, a lot of outdoor projects, filling the pools up, the kids playing. You know, it's been really hot. They're out there. You guys drive around, you see. They're in their kiddie pools. And so, the water has gone up since the pandemic. But don't forget, that means we're selling more water, making a little more money, too. So it kind of goes both ways.
A second question that I had, actually it's a comment that I'm glad you brought up about the people using their wells. And I wish that many people would stop and think that they're still taking water from the aquifer, the water that we use. And, you know, to hear them say, well, I'm not using town water. They really are using town water. And I think that's what you said. So if they would only take that into consideration and conserve a little more, that would be helpful for our water situation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegrini. And only because Councilor Pellegrini, Councilor Kelly and Councilor DeLocco, I think, brought this up amongst others. I think it's important that our audience and the taxpayers know and understand that what the sign that they see in the middle of town that says there's a water conservation ban or water conservation, that is mandated by the state. And if every single one of our wells were full to the top, we would still have that water conservation in effect in July and August. What we're talking about tonight is the state taking it a step further and maybe mandating an all-out water ban. So with that, I do think there's one person in the audience that has his hand up, Justin Bates. Just identify and street address, please.
Appreciate it, yep. Longfellow Drive off Chestnut. Justin Bates. First, I don't oppose the resolution. It's definitely a necessary step as we expect hotter and drier summers with climate change. But since 2012, and there was an article linked to the tweet sent out, probably before that too, we recognize that these water service fees are outpacing inflation. I understand the tiered fee system makes it so that smaller users are charged less, but low-income households and all households and all businesses will definitely feel this in their wallets, but especially low-income households will feel this in the increase. And low-income households are not the ones who have outside sprinklers or have the luxury of a private well or are watering a garden. So they're feeling the negative effects of other residents' decisions. So I'm just curious, I guess, if there's been any discussion on a local level how we're supporting low-income households in Franklin that will be disproportionately affected by this increase.
Jamie. Unmute yourself, Jamie.
You said that right as the computer told me that, too. That was a really great question by Justin. So if you look in the town bylaw, I want to say it's Section 82, it might be 85, fees. There's a provision in there called the Community Assistance Program. And there are residents, I think Brutus can update me, I want to say about 60 or 70 people take advantage of this each year, where you can get a significant discount based on income guidelines. Those households that do have those struggles, they can come in to the DPW and apply to get, I'm probably not using the right word, but a rebate or a discount, a significant portion on their water, and sewer and trash bill. Brutus, I'm happy, if you have a little bit more, you feel free to jump in.
Brutus. Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Jamie's absolutely correct. The number goes up and down every year, but yeah, it's about 70 folks and we follow the criteria. We actually went through that program about 3 years ago and we actually captured some more folks just to make it a little more fair and equitable. And it's for all the enterprise funds. So it is trash, water, and sewer that they receive a significant discount. But to Mr. Bates' point, he is correct. Those folks aren't big users at all in the system, but as he also is right, it's a bigger impact on their total overall operating budget. So, the town's been really good about that. So, if they meet the criteria.
And just one last point, if possible, Chairman.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. So 70 residents, I think the last statistic, and that's a great initiative that Franklin has to support low-income households, and that's definitely necessary. But 70 is just a small fraction. I think it's like 4.4% of Franklin is below the poverty line, or I don't know if there's more recent statistic, but I don't know if there's a program in place, especially with this increase in discussion, and probably is going to pass, hopefully it's going to pass, but to have those low-income households take advantage of that initiative.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure, go ahead, Brutus.
I would just add that I don't know the 4% if that's accurate or not, but I can tell you that a lot of the lower income folks, they're in the Franklin Housing Authority that we service, and they're not charged individually. Same with a lot of folks might be in apartments, so those are picked up by the landlord part of the fees, and then obviously how that goes. And then there are folks in the affordable housing, the 40Bs throughout town and stuff like that. So his numbers probably is correct, but to be a sole user that owns a household, that owns a resident, that actually has services, that's why we have this net in place to catch them.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none. The vote will come on the motion to move bylaw amendment 20-855 to a second reading. A majority roll call votes required. Councilor Jones.
Chairman.
Yes.
Basanti.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Amblin.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
9-0, sir.
Motion carries.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley.
The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.